Welcome to Paradise in the Pines, a podcast about the people, places, and stories that make this the home of American golf. Brought to you by the Pinehurst Southern Pines Aberdeen Area Convention and Visitors Bureau.
And hello again, everybody. I'm Phil Wurz, the President and CEO of the Pinehurst Southern Pines Aberdeen Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. And thanks again for joining us in Paradise in the Pines. And today we've got a special guest. He is Leighton Schwab, who is the Senior Director of U.S. Open Championship Operations. Leighton, I know you're super busy, 107 days as we record this from the 2024 U.S. Open, but thanks for joining us here at Paradise in the Pines.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
You are a busy man, no doubt about it. Reg Jones, you, Eric Steimer, the whole crew, and a cast of probably thousands getting ready as we record this at the end of February, and it'll hit into March. We'll be, at that point, less than 100 days away. So we get a lot of questions at this point of the year, 100 days out from the U.S. Open. It's like, hey, when are we going to start seeing some stuff? So you guys are getting ready to really make it start happening. So what are we going to expect here as we get into March?
Yeah, no question. Well, we are about 10 days actually away from starting construction. So we'll begin March 4th, next Monday. Next week, our tent and flooring company is kind of the first crew to come in. So they'll start bringing in supplies and equipment, and the first beam will be laid on Monday, March 4th. And we've been spending the last couple months really kind of preparing for it with getting the facility ready to go so that when they hit the ground, they can hit it running and start going. So we're excited.
The people that don't know, if you're familiar with Maniac Hill, the driving range at the resort, there's a net up now. So if you remember, you're a resort guest, you hit into that net because that huge driving range. Talk about that area. What's going to be all out in Maniac Hill in that driving range between the resort or the learning center and the members clubhouse?
Yeah, so that's actually one of the big changes from past championships. And the Maniac Hill is very central to the golf course, obviously right next to the 18th hole, right between kind of 18, 13 and the practice areas. Mm-hmm. And so we build a lot of our facilities there. We'll have a trophy club, which is about a 4,500 ticket space with upgraded food and beverage, restrooms, air conditioning for people to be able to get out of the elements a little bit. And then we have a satellite merchandise area that will be located there right in the middle. On the other side, we have our Champions Pavilion, which is a table ticketed package that hospitality clients are able to buy into. And then we have a corporate village on the 16th hole side of Maniac Hill. And then kind of the area between the pageant pavilion and where these facilities are is going to be a key fan central area for us, a fan gathering area. So we'll have a food and beverage, video boards, restroom seating, and really kind of a home base for a lot of the fans that will be on site for the championship.
We get a lot of phone calls here at the CVB from people that are coming to the championship. They're like, hey, where do we park? And, you know, can you talk about that a little bit? It sounds like we talked a little bit before this podcast that, you know, that's a lot of the questions we get. And so is it fairly familiar to people from 2014, or has that changed at all?
Sure. So from a park and transportation standpoint, very similar to what we've done the past couple championships. So we'll have kind of a northern and a southern parking lot, which will be the same two lots that we had back in 2014. So that's where the general fans will be able to park and be bused into the championship. And then utilize a lot of kind of the auxiliary lots that are more for special groups, whether it's media folks or staff or players or caddies or those kind of groups. But kind of from a main fan standpoint, it'll be the similar parking operation that what we've done in the past.
And some of the media reports, they've talked about how the USGA is going to limit or reduce ticket sales. I think in 2014, there were 55,000 people per day. 35,000 is the target number I hear for competitive rounds, or I guess even the practice rounds Monday through Wednesday. How does that impact? I mean, having fewer people there, fewer per se, does it, I guess operations makes it a little bit easier, but what can people expect with that better fan experience?
Yeah, I think you just hit it right there. The better fan experience is the driving force behind kind of limiting tickets a little bit more than what we've had in the past. And 2005 was our largest championship where we had 325,000 people come through the gates throughout that week. And to your point, we're looking more in the 250 to 275 range throughout the week, which is pretty similar to what we had in 1999. So, and the key reason we're doing that is the fan experience. We want to make sure that we're giving people good views of golf, to be able to walk around the property and watch golf, to make sure the amenities from restrooms, concessions, those kind of things, it's manageable. And so we are looking to reduce it a little bit. But if you look overall, you know, even 250, 275,000 is one of the larger championships that we'll host.
Right.
You look at the past couple of years, we were more in the 22 to 25,000 fans per day, and looking at around 35, to, as you said, for this upcoming year. So still going to be a very large event, still a lot of energy. We're really excited about that. I think the way Pinehurst lays out and sets up with grandstands and the movement and the energy kind of around 18 and 1 and some of the key holes, I think you'll really feel that, which we couldn't be more excited to have that back.
I'm sure every U.S. Open is a different animal. So, you know, talk about the differences between, say, LACC last year and then up in Boston, the Country Club, versus, you know, a small venue. I mean, you know, LACC is more of a private club, but talk about, you know, in a, but a bigger market.
Sure.
Versus like, you know, we're in the Village of Pinehurst and such a quaint place, and you're going to put a lot of people into a small area. So talk about the challenges there and then some of the, I guess, rewards or the benefits of having it here in Pinehurst.
Yeah, sure. I think one of the unique parts about, you know, the USGA and all of our championships is that we move around the country every year. Mm-hmm. We're at a different venue. And to your point, every venue has different positives and negatives or challenges, I guess. You know, the last 4 years have been very difficult from a championship planning standpoint. We had COVID in 2020 and 2021, yeah, and both venues and championships, we were unsure what they were going to be. And, mm-hmm, you know, obviously 2020, there were no fans that were at our event up at Wingfoot. In 2021, when we were at Torrey Pines, they actually lifted the COVID restrictions in the middle of our championship. So we were able to have some fans, but it was a much smaller, unique championship. And then the last 2 years are just very different with 2022. We hadn't been to the Country Club in 30 plus years, and our championships changed, you know, in 30 years so much that it might as well have been kind of a first time venue for us in a lot of what we do. So that was, you know, a challenge and thinking through getting our facilities and getting the number of fans in and out and how the community's grown was certainly a challenge for us. And then last year at LA, to you said, right in the heart of LA, Wilshire Boulevard, splitting the two golf courses, made it incredibly difficult to kind of move around the venue. And, mm-hmm, you know, with each venue, there's, again, different challenges from a park and transportation standpoint. LA, you know, despite the roads and the normal day-to-day traffic, it was actually, you know, we didn't have to shuttle people from general fans from parking lots. They were able to park across the street and walk. You know, when we come to a place like Pinehurst and we get into a little bit more of a community, it's important to keep kind of the fan traffic out of the area to not congest the road, so park further away and bus them in. And so, you know, that's one example of where things are totally different. But I think if you ask anyone on our team, you know, Pinehurst is the best venue we go to from hosting a championship for a lot of different reasons. But a lot of it is kind of the infrastructure around Pinehurst. The park and transportation plan has worked so well.
Yeah.
Just in the, you know, the general support we get from the community, I think is unlike anything we see anywhere else.
And you get to sleep in your own bed.
Yeah. That's a little change too. Yeah.
What has that been like with, Golf House Pinehurst being here and some of your compatriots from Far Hills moving down here? I'm sure that was pretty well received. I mean, I'm not a cold weather person, but I would imagine if you gave me a choice, is like, stay in Far Hills or move to Pinehurst, I'd be like, I think I'll move down south.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. We've been in there for about 2 months now. I was actually one of the first ones who opened up our office over in the Village of Pinehurst, right above the deli, back in 2006. And so we've had that office for a while. Started with just a couple of us, grew ultimately to kind of the mid-20s is where we were at before we moved into our new building. But as you said, we've had about 50 or so staff members come down. So we're about 70 people that are working here in Pinehurst. And it's been really exciting. It's been great to have a little bit more of that environment with different departments, different groups kind of being here. And I think, to your point, it wasn't a very difficult sell to get people to come from New Jersey down here.
I know our team has had a chance to tour that, and Janine Driscoll, Director of Brand Communications for the USGA, gave us a great tour. And this was early on into 2024, into January. So you guys had just started occupying the building. So there's still some pictures that need to be hung on the wall, some furniture, but you guys were occupying the building, which you had to do by the end of 2023. It's a beautiful, beautiful facility. And the testing center downstairs is phenomenal. I know they're working on the World Golf Hall of Fame and the Welcome Center. Hopefully that'll be on board around the U.S. Open. I know they're working on that timeline and we're having some delays, but I mean, we're keeping our fingers crossed, but it's going to be an absolute tremendous edition. And so we were talking about having this at Pinehurst, and just so people know, this is not Leighton's first rodeo. He's talked about the recent U.S. Opens, but he joined the USGA in 2006.
Yep,
so you were at Torrey Pines, you've been to Pebble Beach, You've been to, obviously, Pinehurst Resort. You've been to a number of U.S. Open venues. Yep. When you go to places like LACC and the Country Club, where you haven't been ever, is it just like, where do we begin? And then when you go to places like Pebble Beach and Torrey Pines, where it's kind of like, you just break, do you just break out the book and go, okay, this is what we did last time. It's pretty much, this is what we need to do.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. I think when we come back to a place, you know, Pinehurst is one, my first event was 2005 and was involved in 14 as well. There's kind of a plan already in place, and we're always tweaking that plan and making adjustments. And there's certainly going to be a handful of things in 2024 that are different from past championships here. That I think people will see. But when we go to an LACC, it's, you know, it's fun in a way because we have a blank canvas and we're able to kind of get creative and come up with the plan. But, you know, you don't know where some of those skeletons are, if you will, where you don't know where the pinch points are going to be on the course or, you know, where fans are going to gravitate towards and what are going to be the big holes where you see kind of more gatherings and you have more pinch points and you have more challenge moving around. And so, when we come to a place like a Pinehurst or a Pebble Beach or an Oakmont or places we've been to, it's looking back at what we've done and understanding how we can improve upon that. I think we're also, you know, when you look at 10 years later, so much has changed about how we do things from a hospitality standpoint, from ticket offerings and different packages and things. It's always, you know, an opportunity to get creative and to work with, you know, the talented team we have and our vendors to be able to, you know, put on the best performance we can and allow the fans to have the best experience.
You touched on it a bit, but specifically, because we haven't been had the U.S. Open here in 10 years since 2014, what has changed? I mean, you do kind of have the blueprint for Pinehurst, but what would be some things that are different technologically or different from an infrastructure standpoint? Talking about maybe some specifics as to what, if you were here 10 years ago, what may be somewhat different?
Yeah, no question. I think, you know, one of the first ones you brought up technology. We, you know, back in 2014, it was the last year the U.S. Open didn't allow cell phones into the championship. And so general fans weren't able to bring cell phones in and use them to kind of connect and stay connected throughout the day. And I think, you know, now we rely a lot on cell phones and technology. It's all digital ticketing. So everyone's tickets will run through the USGA app. There's you know, within the app, there's maps to be able to navigate around the course. That's where you're getting your tee sheet information. That's where you're finding out scores and digital video boards and a lot of those things. I think technology, you know, we try to be best in class when it comes to that. And I think we've got some good partners and vendors who are able to help us accomplish that. So the technology piece will be a big part of it. I think from the facility standpoint, the biggest thing, which I alluded to earlier, is Maniac Hill. So
yeah.
In the past, all of our hospitality has been on Maniac Hill, and it's kind of surrounded the perimeter of it out on the golf course. And now what we've done is taken those villages and moved them out onto the golf course. And so we'll have corporate villages that are on the 18th hole, the 17th hole, the 16th hole, 15 and 10 as well. And so those hospitality clients will be right on top of golf. And I think that's just evolved in the way that hospitality and groups entertain now. It used to be more of kind of keep people in their space and less focused on kind of the competition. And I think now, you know, there's that desire to have the premium view and to see and be on top of golf. And so that's certainly a big part. I think one thing that'll be we're extremely excited about unveiling is the 1895 Club.
So, I was going to mention that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the setup on 18 will look very similar in a lot of ways. But what we've done is we've actually built within the grandstand on the left-hand side a hospitality space, which is our highest end offering that we'll be having. And it's not only, you know, the facility itself and being able to look right out onto the 18th green and be in the center of all that action, but the, you know, the experience from the very beginning with valet parking to shuttling up there to, you know, high end food and beverage offerings, those kind of things.
It's almost like a your kind of answer to Berkman's Place, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
To a certain extent.
Yep. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, again,
which is at the Masters, by the way. It's a very high end food, beverage, awesome venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very similar in that. And it's something we're, you know, hoping to take with us in the future. And obviously it'll evolve because we don't have the luxury of having the space that we typically do around the 18th green or being able to do that at all the venues. But be able to build kind of a reputation of what this 1895 Club is and have it be that kind of high-end experience.
I've seen pictures from 2014. I wasn't here at that time. and wasn't able to attend. I was not living in this part of the country. When you see the pictures of the grandstands versus I've seen the artist renderings of what that grandstand is going to look like over 18 sure. with the 1895 club and then the smaller grandstand with an open air opportunity there for the people that have that hospitality experience. I mean, it is massive. It reminds me of like the Open Championship in Great Britain when you see like the massive grandstand. You don't have the yellow scoreboard like they have, but I mean, that 1895 club, I mean, I don't know if it's sold out, but if you're not familiar, I guess you would contact Pinehurst Resort and just or the USGA. Is it sold out? I'll just ask you.
It's not at the moment. Okay. It's getting close, though. So definitely, if you're interested in it, check out usopen.com and be able to find the package because it's going quick.
It's awesome, and you're going to have a great view of the 18th hole, and it's going to be tremendous. Do you get excited? I mean, it seems like, you know, you've done this for so many years. Do you get excited? Do you get a chance to even enjoy the championship? Or is it just like once you get to the first ball struck, you're just like, you're just kind of checking to see where the pain points are. And it's a daily kind of, okay, what's going to go wrong? You know, take us a look, pull the curtain back a little bit. Let us know, you know, how stressful is it? You know, once everything is there and everybody's coming to enjoy it, you're still working until the champ is being crowned on Sunday evening, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I would say, you know, and especially in my role operationally, you know, our busiest week is really the week before the event, making sure that we're buttoning everything up, that we're getting ready to invite the masses into the site. Mm-hmm. And throughout the week itself, we're identifying kind of issues and challenges and trying to work through those. So it's definitely a very stressful time. I try to make sure that we sit back and enjoy it and our team does as well, because there's a lot of individuals who put a lot of time and energy into it to try to make sure that they appreciate it and enjoy it. And, you know, every venue is a little bit different. And then, you know, being a native and being local to Pinehurst and being in the community, it certainly means more. It's just, you know, you're at the grocery store and you're hearing people talk about it or people are asking questions when you're kind of out and about. And so that's very different here when we're in Pinehurst. And so it's an opportunity for a lot of my family and friends to be able to see what we do and to be able to kind of see the championship. And so, you know, certainly Pinehurst is I'll try to enjoy it a little bit more just because, again, we'll have so many friends and family there.
That just, you're just talking about being in the grocery store, things like that. And, you know, having been to the other championship venues that people recognize or even the new ones in recent years, and you're out in the community when you're getting ready for US Open, it seems like this community, I'm a homer. I'm a total homer. And it seems like people really take pride in hosting a U.S. Open Championship in Pinehurst. Do you get that sense from the community when you're out and about versus where you're in L.A. or in Boston or whatever?
Yeah, it's different here. You know, the community is smaller, and the excitement and the support we get from everyone with the village and the county and all the way to the state levels is – we don't see that other places to that extent. And I think when you're in an LA, you know, the US Open's a big deal, but it's a little bit of a blip.
They're worried
on the
about
radar.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're worried about the Super Bowl or right. the Taylor Swift concert or one of those things. So I think when we're here, it's just different. And the energy and the excitement that we feel. And again, it's being in the grocery store or being at a restaurant, hearing people talk about it and ask questions, you genuinely feel like people are excited about it and passionate about it and are looking forward to it. And that makes it just that much more special for us, knowing that, you know, there's so much support and energy behind making sure that this is the best. And it's not only the best championship from a USGA standpoint, but it puts that, you know, the spotlight on the community for that week leading up to and after. And I think that everyone realizes that's a big deal. And I think everyone is proud of this community that's here. And I think that just, it's different than when you go to some of these bigger cities in LA or Boston or New York or some of those.
Well, economically, it is a huge deal because the USGA has said it's about a $200 million economic impact, not just to our area, but the region, and not just US Open week. These are the residual impacts economically when people see that championship, go, man, I need to go play Pinehurst number two. And the months after that, people are going to come here and play number two or find out about Southern Pines Golf Club or go, wow, Tobacco Road's a great golf course too. And all these 38 golf courses we have here as truly the home of American golf that we are. I think some people too, when they hear, when you guys moved here and Pinehurst, it's funny because I don't kid, but I tell Tom Pasha, it's like, you guys always take pride in being the first to be doing something, setting the tone, setting some sort of first when it comes to the game of golf, or you know, spreading the game. Yeah. So when it was named the first anchor site for the U.S. Open, that was tremendous. There was a lot of pride with that. Now we have U.S. Opens in 2029, dual U.S. Opens, mm-hmm. By the way, in 29, then 35, 41, and 47. But what does anchor site actually mean? When you hear that, and I get asked that question, what does anchor site really mean? And I just say, well, you know, we're going to host U.S. Opens from now to 2047 every 5 or 6 years. Sure. But there's got a much more deeper meaning than that.
Yeah, no question. I think, you know, from a work perspective, and certainly what I do, the anchor site, it's a game changer in a lot of different ways. And I think that, you know, alluded to earlier, the U.S. Open moves every single year. Mm-hmm. We always knew we were coming back to Pinehurst. We didn't know when, but this kind of cements it. We know you read off the dates, 24, 29, 35, 41, 47.
I've got them committed to memory.
Yeah. We know we're coming back, yeah. And that allows us to think differently. And I think when you look at a lot of the other PGA Tour events or yearly events that are at the same venue every year, they're able to kind of invest in the property. They're able to fine-tune plans and improve every single time. And I think this is the first opportunity from the USGA's perspective, working with Pinehurst, that we're able to invest in that property and set us up for success long-term.
What does that mean, investing in the property? I think there was a recent article in The Pilot that talked about some of the infrastructure changes that are being made. And in fact, a friend of mine that works for Our State magazine said, they're paving number two. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're just making some access areas to make it a little bit easier for you guys to do what you need to do to host a U.S. Open. So talk about some of those investments and projects that will take part as being an anchor site.
Sure. And a lot of it's underway and it's coming to a finish right now. And to your point about putting up the net on Maniac Hill, the reason we did that is for some of these infrastructure projects that are happening right now before we begin construction. And probably the three key areas that we're really investing in it from a USGA perspective is with power. So we're working with Duke Energy and local electricians and groups in the area to bring permanent power out onto the golf course. Mm. And so we've got we just completed it last week, where we've got 7 transformer locations that are out on property. Wow. 4 of them on Maniac Hill and 1 in our kind of main gate fan central area where the merchandise pavilion is, and then 2 at separate villages. And, you know, we put in this permanent power so that when we come back in 29, we can plug back in. And what that does is it reduces facility footprint. We don't need as many generators. That helps with sustainability. We're not burning quite as much fuel as we would typically have with the generators. It's more reliable, obviously having shore power versus generated power. So
it's a cost savings too.
A cost savings. Yeah. And the way we've looked at it, it's a significant investment over the next couple months that we'll continue to do. But we've run the numbers, and really after the 2029 championship, we expect to recoup all that investment. And then again, it sets us up for the future. And so, you know, that's been a big one. We've put in a lot of water lines underground as well. And so typically it's more of a temporary fix where we're running water to kind of kitchen areas and restrooms and some of those things. And we know we're going to have facilities on Maniac Hill for the foreseeable future. And so we've run water there to be able to adequately, you know, bring water pressure to the kitchen areas and things like that. And the last one you mentioned, roadways, is another thing we've done. And so we've taken existing paths and paved them to help us kind of with movement throughout the property. And typically it's more of a temporary installation, or we'll use plastic matting or gravel or something like that. Right. And we've gone through and paved them and widened them. Which helps Piners day to day from like their maintenance team kind of getting around the property. It helps certainly from a construction standpoint when our vehicles start coming, to be able to access the ground sufficiently. Right. And it's also opened up a couple different areas where we previously haven't had the ability to put facilities. We now do. And so those are kind of three key areas that we've been focusing on over the last probably 18 months. And really those projects are kind of all coming to a completion right now.
I would imagine, just jumping forward to 2029, where we've got the dual U.S. Opens again, another first that Pinehurst had in 2014 to host the dual U.S. Opens, and to do it again in 29 is tremendous. I guess that helps with all that infrastructure being built. That's going to help, especially because there's so much stress on 1 week.
Yeah.
To do it in 2 weeks in a row, to have all that's going to be a big help in 29.
Yeah, no question. It's, you know, again, we're thinking about this long term. We're being strategic about it. You know, we're not running power everywhere because things may evolve and change, but we know that there's certain things that are going to be in play for all championships that we bring here, and let's leverage that. And so Pinehurst Resort has been a tremendous partner with it, working hand in hand with them to make sure that these are things that are good for them day to day, good for them long term. That'll help both of us as we move forward. So it's been a great partnership in that regard.
you can certainly attest that you cannot pull off a major championship like a U.S. Open without hundreds, if not thousands, of volunteers. Yep. Talk about how many volunteers are going to assist with this U.S. Open. Do you need more? And what are going to be their general responsibilities?
Yeah, so I think we have about 4,000 volunteers. We've been on a wait list for about 8 months already. So it filled up pretty quickly. We've got all 50 states represented, six different countries that are a part of it as well. And, you know, I guess going back to a little bit and tying it into your anchor site comment, I think when we look at a volunteer base, or we look at the community in the Village of Pinehurst, or we look at, you know, the CVB, or we look at the state of North Carolina, there's so much history and support, and there's a knowledgeable group, and our volunteers are incredibly knowledgeable here. It's as experienced of a volunteer group as we go to anywhere in the country. And it's hard to put into words how impactful that is. We're not educating them on what the championship is, what the USGA does, how the event works, what are the hours, what to expect. When we go to LA, it's brand new for most of the people there.
Yeah.
And so here with our volunteer base, we're super fortunate to have a committed group that's experienced and knows what they're doing. And it really just helps us in being able to worry and focus our areas on the areas that are maybe a little more critical, and be able to trust that we've got a great volunteer base and a program. And, you know, I think you see that in a lot of different areas, as I mentioned, with, again, like the state of North Carolina. And what we're doing is, knowing we're coming back, those groups are, you know, our key counterparts that we're dealing with there are bringing in kind of the next in line.
Yeah.
And so I think what they're doing is they're getting that firsthand experience. They're understanding how we work as the USGA, so that when that person moves on, there's somebody there to kind of step in and take over for them. So it's been exciting to kind of watch that happen. And it's really changed and energized our mindset a little bit, knowing that we're going to be back so often. And let's plan for 24, but in the back of our minds, continue to think about 29 and beyond.
Let's go back 25 years, 1999, Payne Stewart sinks the putt, which I wouldn't say put Pinehurst on the map, but I mean, it is synonymous with the resort and his putt to win the 1999 U.S. Open Championship. Not asking you to spill the beans, because I'm sure there are going to be some remembrances or things going on. Will there be something from your realm in operations on the course that the fans will be able to see to pay tribute to Payne or to remember Payne?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, to your point, 99 was what put the U.S. Open or put Pinehurst on the map a little bit. I think the 99 championship is, you know, what ultimately led to us opening a second headquarters here, to it being the first anchor site. I think so much of that success from 99 is what built the foundation for what's happened over the last 25 years. And there'll certainly be some things on property.
You're not spilling the beans at all.
No, not going to spill the beans, but there will be some tributes and some memories back to 99 and all that Payne did.
That's awesome. I think I hear it too. It's like, is Tiger going to come? I know it doesn't. That's probably not in your realm to an award and exemption to Tiger Woods, but I think it would. I think it's still going to be a successful U.S. Open, whether Tiger's here or not. But I mean, it's just going to add a little bit more juice, I think, and hopefully he can stay healthy. I would imagine USGA is, you know, why you can't come out, and I think it'd be kind of cool. What I'm trying to say. What do you think, just as a golf fan, maybe?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Tiger Woods moves the needle. It's, you know, we talk about it in a lot of our planning when he's a part of the championship. It changes a lot of different things. We have to think about, you know, the technology part you talked about earlier. When we talk about Wi-Fi and connectivity around the property, we call it the Tiger effect.
Wow.
Meaning so many people are following certain groups that you start to have some lag in Wi-Fi or concession areas. I mean, it's, you know, when Tiger's moving around the golf course, the fans are following him, and those concessions, we're talking to our concessionaire and saying, hey, he's making the turn now. Be ready on the 12th hole. There's a large gallery coming that way. Or
have more vodka.
Yeah.
More beer.
There's certainly an impact on Tiger's presence.
I
certainly would love him as a golf fan, would certainly love for him to be there. And love to him to be a part of the championship.
Talking about walking the course, I mean, are there some things, you know, away from the Maniac Hill and the hospitality that's going to be there, out on the course, are there certain things fans should look for that you guys are going to build out that's like, hey, when you go by 16, you need to check this out? Or, you know, if you're walking this hole, anything specific you can think of that's going to be out there people should probably stay tuned about?
Yeah, I think the Fan Central, the kind of the main entranceway in, so where our merchandise pavilion is, we've got a lot more activations with our partners, with our marketing department, with our museum folks. So you'll see some more fan activations, things kind of coming through the main gate. So certainly look for those and get a club in your hand and swing simulators and putting greens and those kind of things to be able to do. And kind of as you venture around the course, you know, over by, we call it the food court area, which is really over by 8, 9, and 15, there'll be some video boards and some seating and okay. some subcontractor food groups. So we try to bring in a lot of local, you know, subcontractors to be able to provide food and beverage experience, and whether that's with the state or certainly down to the community level, try to integrate those things in. So, you know, certainly stop by there. The second and seventh hole will be a big area as well, where we've got an Amex card member club. So if you have an Amex credit card, you can get into there, and it's a little bit of a unique experience. And then a big food court in there with video board and some of that stuff. So that'll certainly be another big area.
Main thing is just go to usga.org and buy your tickets.
Yeah, they're going quick.
They're going quick. 35,000 people per day, 250,000 people for the week. It's going to be an epic, tremendous event. Hopefully a historic one, and hopefully a memorable champion. I know I won't name him, but he was on this podcast. You can go back and look. But he said hopefully it was a more memorable champion, because we have one in Payne, and there's nothing wrong with Michael Campbell or Martin Keimer, great, tremendous, or near U.S. Open champions.
Sure.
But, I mean, you know, a Ricky Fowler or, you know, somebody like that, Jordan Spieth, would be tremendously popular, wildly successful. It's going to be successful anyway.
Yeah.
Man, we appreciate everything you do for the USGA, for Pinehurst, for this championship. It is going to be tremendous. I cannot wait. I know you can wait 107 days because you need the time, and you haven't even started building the complex. But, man, it's going to be outstanding. It's going to look great on global television. And, man, Leighton, I know you're super busy, but we really appreciate your time and your team's time to take all the efforts needed to make this a very successful U.S. Open.
Yeah, well, thanks for having us. We appreciate it, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, cool. Again, thanks to Leighton Schwab, who's the Senior Director of the U.S. Open Championship Operations. Again, this has been Paradise in the Pines. If you want to learn more about tourism, go to our website. New website, homeofgolf.com. If you want to watch our videos, including these podcasts, go to our YouTube channel, which is Home of American Golf. And if you like this podcast, download, search for Paradise in the Pines. Wherever you get your podcatcher, download it, listen to it, share it with your friends. For Phil Wurz, this is Leighton Schwab. I'm Phil Wurz. I knew I would do that one day. This has been Paradise in the Pines, and we'll see you next time.